Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Have a very blessed Sabbath. Today's title of our message is Acts to be Remembered. As the scripture, thank you, Brother Keenan, for the scripture reading this morning, which says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." All. In English, throughout the years, what it used to be, "I thank you," has become "thank you," and then "thanks." And some people even use the childish "dah." People are trying sometimes to make it shorter and shorter, what they feel, what they say. I don't know, this is not only in English, but we have noticed that this happens in different cultures also. Digging further into the history of this phrase, "I thank you," we find that it comes originally from the word "thank," T-H-I-N-K. In older English, from the half of the 5th century until the beginning of the 12th century, the primary sense of the noun "thank" was a thought. It originally meant, "I will remember what you did for me." It was actually a promise, a commitment. "I will remember what you did for me." So every time somebody said back then, "I thank you," basically they were making a promise, a commitment. "I will remember what you did for me. I will remember your act of grace to me." Sadly, in our days, it is not what people usually mean when they say, "I thank you," or "thank you," or "thanks," or just "da." The correct and most polite expression should have been to all of us, when somebody does something for us, it should be "much obliged." It actually means, "I am in your debt," or "I owe you a debt of gratitude." In other languages, and now in my own mother language, Portuguese, people say, if they are men, they say "muito obrigado," or if they are female, they say "muito obrigada," which basically means, I feel much obliged. I feel obligation to you. But if you ask millions and millions of Portuguese speaking people what "muito obrigado" means, or "much obliged" means, most people have no idea. They just say, "Oh, it means thank you." But it doesn't. Actually, it's a same statement that says, "What do I owe you? I am in debt to you." In French, we have the word "merci," "merci." It's even more graphic. It derives from the word "mercy," as in begging for mercy. By saying it, you are symbolically placing yourself in your benefactor's power. You are claiming for somebody, "Please forgive me." By saying, if the person responds by saying, "You are welcome," or "It is nothing," the person is being gracious to you by releasing you from any obligation that you just stated that you feel, that it is was an act of grace, was a gift for you, was an act of kindness. Then comes the proper time for you to say, "I thank you. I appreciate your kindness." The Italian "grazie" and the Spanish "gracias," on the other hand, both came from Latin, the word "gracias," "agere," simply meaning to express gratitude, an act of grace. That's where the word "gracias," grace, comes from. Much as we say in English, "I am very grateful," I'm full of grace, and grace is what I feel I have received. The fact that nearly every language today embodies the idea of thank you someone is incredible and goes to show how human communication can survive across different cultures as well as times. Today, take the time, my brother and sister. Yes, today, take the time to say, I thank you. And why do I say, I thank you? Because when we say thanks, when we say thank you, or when we say ta, we leave the I out. And I is important in this sense because it's your commitment, it's your gratitude, it is your recognition, it's your act of remembering what has been done to you. So don't leave, in this case, the I out. Don't make a blind statement. Keep the I as part of it. I thank you. People will notice as you say to them. To anyone and everyone who deserves gratitude must receive this promise from you. I will remember. I will remember your kindness to me. Whether it is in English or sign language or any other language, show your appreciation every single time to those around you. People will love to be around you. I thank you. There are many different words and gestures used around the world to relay this appreciated message, which shows others that you value their acts of kindness to you. And you know what? In life, very common. Whatever we encourage, that's what we get. If you encourage kindness, you'll be surrounded by kindness. Kindness will multiply. So be kind. Whether you are planning a trip in a foreign country when all this pandemic is over, it will be over. Have a friend, or if you have a friend who speaks another language, making the effort to learn his basic expression of gratitude in other languages can go far long and makes you, you'll be amazing how it's so great, gratifying to see people how they are so happy when you express gratitude in their own language. Many, many years ago, I was attending a class. And this class had some Spanish speaking, have some people from a different, it was an ESL class, English as a second language. And I had one Brazilian in the class, and there was people from other nations, and there was these two very young Chinese girls. And they came to the class, and they were very quiet, and they only talked very politely among themselves, but not close to us. And during the class, they would put their heads down, was always very shy, and looks like they were completely overwhelmed with the fact that they couldn't understand a word in English. And they were there in the class just to learn. So one day, I turned to them, and I said to them, "Ni hao." Those two girls, they became so happy, and it looked like a door with a lot of light just opened. And they look at me with so much joy, and they started yapping all those Chinese things that I have no idea what they were saying. And immediately I told them, "I'm sorry. I do not know what you speaking, what you saying." And then I told them, "The only thing that I know is how to say thank you, xie xie, and how to say bokashi, and few words. But that's all that I know." But those girls welcome my gesture in such a way that to see the joy that I saw in their face and their, because they were like in complete darkness. And just that to say a few words in their language it opened the door for them. And that's true in many cases. Now, I'd like to call your attention to many, many years ago, Apostle Paul said something that has a lot to do with our days. You'll find that, and I hope you do open your Bibles, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'll be reading from a New King James Version. And why I'm using this? Because Paul here is talking to a young man, Timothy. And he wants to tell him something about the last days. This is what he says. Verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, dangerous times will come, or perilous times will come, when men will be lovers of themselves, men and women, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, is slanderous, without self-control. Well, tell me, look at the streets. Look the youth today. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors. How many people has put their own personal interests before our own countries? They have been elected to office, and sometimes they act just like somebody who despises their own country. Traitors. Head is strong, yet stubborn, haughty, loves of pleasure rather than loves of God. Having a form, and I like to change the word here, have a pretending to be part of a church or religious body, yet denying their religion by the way they act, the way they live. And from such people, Paul tells Timothy, and I tell you young people today, stay away from them. Don't get yourself polluted. Get involved with people that have this kind of behavior. What a comprehensive description that Paul gives here about the last days generation. Frightening, isn't it? Especially, I hope not, especially if you have seen some of this behavior in your own children. God has mercy. Get on your knees, parents, and ask God for His grace, because this is the generation that is coming out. The last days generation. This is the generation that is disobedient to parents. This is the generation that is unthankful and unholy. They want everybody to pay for everything that they want. They want free tuition. They want free everything. They are the entitlement generation. They are the lovers of themselves, as Paul says, generation. And as I say, I call them the me-me generation. Yes, it's all about me. It likes their world is surrounded by me. Me in every corner is a me-me generation. I hope you don't have the me-me generation in your home, brothers and sisters. There are some particular areas in our lives that I would like to address at this time about people that have a tendency to be very, very forgetful when it comes to their gratitude. First, let me address the home, the crib of every personality, every human being, where you are formed as a human being. The home. The Bible says this: honor your father and your mother. It says twice in the first portion of the Bible that some people call the Old Testament. You find in Exodus 20, verse 12, in Deuteronomy, is repeated again, 5, verse 16. And then there are six more times this commandment is addressed in the Bible. 5 by Jesus, and one by Apostle Paul. In Matthew 15:4, 19:19, Mark 7:10, 10:19, Luke 18:20, and then Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. But please note, brothers and sisters, God did not attach any conditions or excuses to this commandment. Yes, brothers and sisters, especially you young people, if you look in your Bible, you're not going to find any extra excuses that God will give you not to love your parents. It doesn't say honor your father and your mother if they were good to you, if they have spoiled you, if they say yes to everything you ask. No, those conditions are not there. God is telling you honor your father and your mother, the one you got. Yes, simply the Bible says honor them. It doesn't matter what, if they are good or not good according to your own evaluation. God asks you, commands you to honor them. Your parents taught you to talk. Oh yeah, I know. Some of the words that you use are not taught by your parents. You learn some other place, and I hope you forget them soon if they don't belong in your lips. Your parents taught you to walk. You don't remember when they grab your hand and help you to stand up and walk. You may not remember, but they taught you to play, and they taught you to pray. They provide for all your needs, even when they had to sacrifice their own. They read to you. They cared for you. When you were sick, they were there. When you were happy, they were there. They celebrated with you in your victories, and they lift you up on your sad moments. They hugged you. They dress you. They clean you. And they give you security and comfort. They love you, and they plant confidence and purpose in your life. Are you thankful for the parents that you have? Are you one of those kids that only wait until Mother's Day to say, I love you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. You're precious to me, Mom. You're the greatest mom ever. Or do you wait only to the June for half an hour just to write a little card to your dad and says, Happy Father's Day, Dad, and you're out of there as quick as you can? Stop for a moment and imagine how many times your father left very early in the morning and came very late at night, tired, exhausted, only because he has to take care of you. He has to provide for you. Or your mom that has two jobs. Sometimes she is a full-time mother and she goes out to also to earn enough to bring you comfort, to provide for you. I hope you are grateful. I hope that you take your time to invest on your parents. Investing, yes. Gratitude is an investment, is a powerful investment that multiplies and gives wonderful returns. A grateful child, it is very easy to give to a grateful child. It's very difficult, very painful to have to provide for an ungrateful one. We know that the only perfect parent, yes, kids, let me remind you this, children, young people, those of you, listen, please. The only perfect parent is our Heavenly Abba. There's no other. And remember, if your parents were perfect, they could not have you because you're not perfect kids. Perfect parents have to have a perfect kids. That is the equation here. So don't expect to have perfect parents when you are not a perfect kid. Parents aren't perfect. Yet, we can choose to honor them anyway, because we trust that God has put them, our Creator has put them in our lives to care for us and to give us a purpose. God doesn't make a mistake, I can guarantee you. To illustrate, let me tell you, some of you already know part of this story. I met my father when I was 28 years old. It was almost by accident, because I was visiting someone, and as I was talking to somebody else, a worker said, "Hey, I know your father." Somebody that I never met before, I have never seen before, just out of nowhere, look at me and says, "I know your father." First, I thought the whole thing was a joke. But when I saw in his face, I saw that he was very serious. It scared me a little bit, because I says, I must look like my father a lot, because I haven't seen him for 28 years, and somebody just looked at me, somebody never met me, and tell me that I look like my father, or this individual is a bright individual, has a unique talent, or something is definitely wrong. And as I talked to this individual, he said, "Your father lives a few miles from here." And he gave me some instructions how to get there. Eventually, I got a friend, and a friend says, "Let's go there." He put me in a car almost by force, and we went. To make the story short, my father was not there when I visited, but I told him what I was, and I says, a few more days, I'm going to the United States. One Sabbath, just a few days before I came to the United States, I was walking the streets going to give Bible study in a Sabbath afternoon, and suddenly a stranger stopped me and grabbed me and pulled me up and said, "Are you looking for your father?" "I am your father." Almost sounds like the movie. He said, "I am your father." As we talked, then I went back to the house where we stayed, and we talked. I cooked something for him and for his wife, which was not my mother. And as I cooked for them, my father looked at me and asked this question, which I thought it was very unique. He says, "Why did you look for me? I haven't done anything for you. I don't deserve the fact that you came looking for me." This is what I told my father. "I came looking for you because God, in His sacred commandment, told me to do so. I am leaving footprints for my children to follow. I'm doing this as investment to the future of my own children. I want them to know how to honor unconditionally the parents that are God put in your life." Brothers and sisters, young people, look at your parents and be grateful. God put them in your lives. Be grateful. Don't question why, but just make the best of what God has entrusted you. If you are a grateful person, not only your own children will follow you, your footprints, parents, but others as well. On the other hand, only fools will follow the step of a great fool. Let me pronounce correctly so you understand what I'm saying. On the other hand, if you as a parent is a grateful person, people, your children will follow your footprints. But and not only your children, but other people will follow your footprints, because everybody likes to follow a grateful person. But on the other hand, if you are not a grateful person, I must remind you that only fools will follow the steps of a great fool. Parents, Are you a grateful parent raising grateful children? I have seen many parents telling their children when they are little, you forgot something, tell them, thank you. Go to the store, somebody does, tell them, thank you. And the children are raised to say thank you. But I don't know how many parents takes the time to express, or even they, if they do know, the real meaning behind I thank you. So parents, don't only teach your children to be grateful, but teach them why and what it means to be grateful. How powerful is to be grateful? How great is to be grateful? How gracious is to be grateful? How kind is to be grateful? How smart, how cool is to be grateful? Children, when was the last time you told your parents that you loved them? When was the last time you thanked them for raising you and providing for you every single thing that you have, the house, the place, the car, the drive, the school, and the list goes on and on and on and on? How many times you remind them, and believe me, they won't get tired if you tell them a million times. The more you tell them, the more they will give it to you. Parents, your children are learning respect to authorities from you. Remember, I said this a few times, and I'm going to say again, God did not put you in your children's life to be their buddies. You don't need to be cool. You need to be right. God puts you in your children's life to be their parents. They don't need a body. They need a parent. Our world is collapsing. This me generation is a generation that has no parental support. They don't have a parent when they're present. Sometimes their parents look worse than they are. They have no respect for authority. They have no respect for anybody. And how were their children will learn to respect others? The fifth commandment is very important, because when you teach children to respect you, that child will go on through life respecting others. And they will learn to respect God also. You are the key element. It will turn their lives around. They are learning generosity. Oh, yes. Parents that do not return to God the tithe. Parents that do not give to the church are the children that come from those parents. Usually, they imitate their parents exactly, precisely. Generous parents generate generous children. Grateful parents have grateful children. Kind parents have kind children. Moral parents have moral children. Good parents have good children. Every other principle that will make them look like their Heavenly Father, they must see in you, dear brothers and sisters. Most of you have heard or have seen on television Dr. Benjamin Carson, mostly known as Ben Carson, the doctor, the physician, the well-known, worldly-known physician. We know much more about him when he got involved in politics. He became a candidate, and now he works for the president administration. What I admire about this humble man is not the skills that he has. Yes, that in itself is wonderful. It's not the fact that he succeeded in life beyond expectations. What I admire in this man is his sense of gratitude. that's what makes me admire him more than anybody else that I have known. Dr. Benjamin Carson, every single opportunity that he was in public speaking to people very powerful, people very intelligent, very wise, he always gave credit for his success to his mother. Somebody who for many years of her life were not even able to read or write. He always praised her for her wisdom, for dedication, and to give him the desire to become someone in his life and always to have God as part of his life. He owes all to his mother. So do we, because Dr. Ben Carson has served this country well in his position as physician, as a teacher, and now also as part of the administration. He's a person who is great because he's grateful. Another point that I'd like to call your attention is a lot of people are grateful to others. It is relatively easy for us to remember those who hurt us, who insult us, who does something bad against us. Oh, yes, we'll remember long, long, long time for one tiny little thing we make a big deal, and sometimes we go on and on and on about how hurt we are and how insulted we are. But how few of us remember the acts of kindness? How quick we forget when people are kind to us. It shouldn't be that way, especially for us that call ourselves biblical Christians. Whatever we receive from others, we must be gracious. We must be thankful because they chose to be gracious to us. I like to use now an illustration from the Bible, a beautiful story. A story that our brother Joseph, and I don't mean Kisaka, I mean the brother Joseph from Egypt, he relayed that story to us. It's about a chief butler. You know that he had offended Pharaoh, and as a result, he was sent to prison. There in prison, he met this young man called Joseph, who was put there, was a Hebrew. He was falsely accused of a crime that he did not commit. But because the Lord was with him, the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of the prison. After being in prison for a while, the butler one night had a dream. Early in the morning, Joseph came, checked on the prisoners, and looked at the butler and saw that the butler was very sad. So Joseph addressed him as a caring individual. He addressed him and says, what is the problem? What is going on? And then the butler told him, I had a dream, and I have no idea what is the meaning of it. Joseph said, oh, okay, I can tell you with God's help. You know, God can, you know, he's the one who can explain all the meaning of all dreams. Tell me the dream. And so the butler told Joseph the dream. And Joseph told him the interpretation. He told him he would be released and restored by Pharaoh. But then Joseph asked the butler for an act of kindness. He said, see, I'm being kind to you. I just told you with God's help exactly what God is, the message that God sent to you. And now this is going to happen to you for sure. But I would like to ask you for a favor that Joseph asked the butler. You find the words that Joseph said in chapter 40 of Genesis, verse 14 and 15. He says like this, but when you are free, Joseph telling the butler, remember me. Remember the act of kindness that I showed to you. And be kind to me and tell the king about me so I can get out of this prison. I'm reading from New Central Version. I was taken by force from my land of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing here to deserve being in prison. Emphasis, remember me. Be kind to me. I have been kind to you. I came to you. I asked you why you were so sad. You told me why you're sad. I gave the interpretation. God used me to give you the interpretation was about to happen to you. Remember me. Joseph was now sure that he had a friend in a court, because exactly the way he predicted that God told him, the butler was taken out of prison and took back to his old position. So now he says, I do have a friend. Everything is working well. I'm going to be out of here pretty soon. So he expected his friend to go to the Pharaoh and tell him that Joseph was such a man of God with such a unique talent, the power, how useful he could be to the court. He could be to the king. He was innocent. He didn't deserve to be in prison. But weeks passed into months, and there was no word from the chief butler. The butler could not have completely forgotten Joseph. I don't think he did. It was impossible for something so unique to happen to someone. Would you have forgot that? I wouldn't, especially when my neck was in jeopardy. So the butler did not forget Joseph. But probably, we do not know, but probably he was afraid. He says, you know what? I got my place. I better be careful. I better don't say anything wrong, because yes, if I do, my head goes. No, I better be quiet. Yeah, Joseph will do well. He'll find his way. It might anger the Pharaoh, the butler says, and put me back in prison. I don't want that to happen. I know that Joseph, he will understand. Or maybe there was another reason. We do not know. In any case, the chief butler forgot Joseph. If Joseph had harmed a butler, the man would have not forgot him for sure. But because Joseph had helped him, was kind to him, showed grace to him, how quickly he forgot him. Look what it says in verse 23 of chapter 40, New King James Version. It says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Yet the chief butler did not remember the act of kindness that Joseph showed him. And he chose to forget what was done for him. That somebody showed grace to him and saved his life. What a typical image of ingratitude. It seems easy for us humans to be unthankful. The butler was a man who forgot to be thankful. That is an increasing distinctive type of people in the last days. I hope, my brother and sister, and I pray that you are not one of them. Now, another illustration comes to our third point, which is grateful to God. Jesus healed 10 lepers and sent them to the priests to receive from the church a declaration of their clean new condition, health new condition. And that would mean that they were free to go back to their homes. They were free to go get a job, travel. They were free, completely free. The gift was not just the healing, but the spiritual healing. Everything was involved. They were now able to go back to their normal lives and enjoy completely. They received a precious gift from God and were given opportunity to witness that God has been gracious to them. But the Bible said, it tells us this. But only one of them returned to show that he remembered the act of grace that was given to him. He remembered who and what was done for him. In verse 17 of Luke 17, verse 18 also says that Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Verse 18 says, that's the New Living Translation, "Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Some version says, "this Samaritan." There were 10 that received the blessings, acts of grace. Who is the grateful? The grateful, brothers and sisters, are those who appreciate the grace that they receive. The grateful are the ones who multiply the blessings that they receive because they are grateful. Who are the other ones, the 9? The 9 great fools? There was one who was grateful, and there were 9 great fools. Those who chose to be ungrateful. The great fools create their own misery by discarding their precious blessings. When they did not come back to thank Jesus for the miracle, there is a great probability that they will be infected again. But not the grateful. By returning to Jesus, by showing his gratitude, his healing was confirmed forever. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, I'm reading from the New Century Version. It talks about those that are ungrateful to God. He says, verse 21, Paul says to the Romans, "They knew God, so they have no excuse. But they did not give glory to God or thank him. Their thinking became useless." Their thinking became useless. And remember that thinking and thank you it comes from the same root. "Their foolish minds were filled with darkness. They said they were wise, but they became fools." Some people choose to be grateful. Some people choose to be great fools. Ungratefulness is a weak, painful, and even cruel thing for a parent to see in their children. For any of us to see in anyone, from a pastor to see from a church member, from a church member to see from a pastor, or any level of those that we respect and learn to love, to see ungratefulness from them, it is painful. It is cruel. Imagine how God feels with our ungratefulness. Every Sabbath is a time weekly for us to show great gratitude. Every Sabbath is an opportunity that God has given to us, his children, to show our gratitude for the blessings of the week. So the Sabbath actually is a weekly Thanksgiving day. Every Sabbath is a weekly Thanksgiving day. The purpose of the Sabbath is for us to be reminded that everything we do, God provides. The message of the harvest is God provides. The message on Thanksgiving Day is God provides. So the Thanksgiving for a Seventh-day Adventist biblical Christian is every Sabbath. Every Sabbath should be a celebration of gratitude. An opportunity for us to be grateful not only to God, but for those that God puts in our lives. our brothers and sisters that we'll keep forever, that will be forever part of our family. During the summer school lesson today, somebody was talking about how do we relate to, sometimes we are in a condition that our own personal family tells us if we accept Jesus Christ, they will leave us, they will abandon us. Let me say this to you. I did not have a family per se until November 1968, when I was baptized and became Seventh-day Adventist. From that time on, I have never been alone again, because I have a family. Not only a family, but a forever family. A family is a wonderful thing to have. A family is something that it is a group of people that God has provided to surround you, to give you comfort, security, and to give you opportunity to grow in life. We must be thankful for the families that we have. I feel so sad to see sometimes so many struggles among family members, how they are offensive to each other, how they disrespect each other. Learn to be thankful for the family you have. Be grateful. Be helpful. Be gracious. Embrace your family. Let them know how precious they are in your lives. Many children, many spouses take for granted the other spouse who go work so hard to provide, to give them comfort. Learn to be thankful. Don't take anybody for granted. Ladies, don't think that your man just go out and work like a horse and come home tired. Learn to be thankful. We all need to hear how appreciated we are in everything we do. The acts that we do must be remembered. Mothers, tell your children about how meaningful is what their father does to maintain, to sustain them, and to provide. If you, lady, are the one of the ladies that goes out and also work hard to provide, fathers, tell your children about their mother. Help them to see how grateful and how precious they are for having a mother like them, like she is. And finally, let me say this to you. Learn to count your blessings, because the more you count them, the more they multiply. An 80-year-old lady, after living all her life very bitter, very negative, and very a person that was always having smoke coming out of her ears because she was always mad about something. She made a lot of people very miserable during her lifetime. But a miracle happened, and at age of 80, she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She was baptized. And long few months afterwards, she became sick. She became ill. And she was sent to the hospital. And a pastor came to visit her. And surprised, she was like in a vacation in Bahamas, because she was so happy, even though she was sick in a hospital bed. But they could see how much Jesus Christ has made a difference in her life. And for the surprise of the pastor, she said to the pastor, "Pastor, would you join me? I like to sing a song that I like so much." And the song that she chose to sing was "Count Your Blessings." And she started singing, "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done." Oh, brothers and sisters, teach your children to count the blessings one by one. As Paul says to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, everything, bad or good, give thanks to the Lord and trust that the Lord will take care of all your needs. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, my brothers and sisters. And finally, in conclusion, I have another illustration that I'd like to share with you. In his autobiography, Breaking Barriers, syndicated columnist Carl Rowland tells about a teacher who greatly influenced his life, who actually changed his life. Rowland relates that his teacher, Miss Thompson, when he was attending school, she reached into her desk drawer and pulled out a piece of paper that contained a quote attributed to Chicago architect Daniel Burhan. And he said that she read to him, and the paper said, "Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood, and probably themselves will not be realized. Make big plans. Aim high in hope and work. Remember that your sons and grandsons are going to do things that would stagger us." More than 30 years later, he said, "I gave a speech in which I said that Francis Thompson had given me a desperately needed belief in myself in a crucial moment in my life. She gave me an act of kindness that changed my life." A newspaper printed the story, and someone mailed the clipping off to that beloved teacher. Then she wrote back to him. She said, "You have no idea, young man, what that newspaper story meant to me. For years, I endured my brother's arguments that I had wasted my entire life, that I should have married and had a family of my own. But when I read that you gave me credit for helping to launch your marvelous career, your successful career, I put the clipping on front of my brother, and after he had read it, I said to him, 'You see, brother, I don't really wasted my life, did I?'" Brothers and sisters, those of you who have little children, I hope that you teach them to be truly thankful. And I hope that many years from now, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, that they may say, "I didn't really waste my life, did I?" I hope you, my brother and sister, listen to me this afternoon, have not wasted your life. Remember, it is time for us to be grateful and not great fools. Be grateful. The Lord has chosen you. At the cross, there was one on the right side and there was the one in the wrong side, the left side. The one on the right side act like ungrateful or a great fool for a while. But eventually he saw the light and he became grateful. And Jesus told him, "Your life is not wasted, because when I come in my kingdom, you will be with me in paradise." But what history has to say about the one on the left? Let's leave very clear. Nothing is said besides the fact that he decided to the moment that he died to refuse to see the light. He refused to be grateful. All he could see is that he loved himself just like any generation of our time. And look what happened to him. I hope all of you today can say, do you see? I didn't really waste my life. Jesus has my life in his hand, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. God bless you. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving. Remember, today is a weekly Thanksgiving. From now on, make every Sabbath a time to give thanks. Give thanks to your family, to your parents, to your church members, to everyone that God put in your life. I'm thankful that you are part of my life. Can you see? We really have not wasted our lives, because our hope will give an opportunity to be with the Heavenly Father. God bless all of you.